Ephesians chapter 2. Here's one of the epistles Paul had written to the church at Ephesus, and it was a little less personal, a little more doctrinal, and I thank God for Ephesians. I mean, Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 really straighten out most of these false churches out there if they'd read that. Pray about that and read it right out of the book. And, it talks about the gift of God. It talks about the fact that we have redemption over in 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And that redemption doesn't come from your works. It comes from the shed blood of the perfect Savior. And we want to look at some things today as Paul is, he's given them some sound Bible doctrine. Paul spent a lot of his ministry trying to not only give people the revelation that he'd been given as the body of Christ, the Jews and Gentiles in the body, and there's no more Jew or Gentile in Christ. We're born into the body, born into the family of God, adopted into that family. We've become a child of God, and when you're a child of God, He doesn't look at you as a Jew or a Gentile. He looks at you as a child of God. Praise the Lord. And Paul says, you know, I'm giving you this new revelation. Why do you keep going back to the law? People are like, well, yeah, Jesus died plus. Jesus died, and you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to believe this, and you got to do, you know, work to keep it, and all this stuff. The same thing that's going on today in a lot of churches was going on in Paul's time. They were trying to mix things with Jesus Christ and say, add things to the death, burial, and resurrection and the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Well, the blood shed on Calvary was not the blood of bulls and goats, which cannot take away sin. It was the blood of God, God's blood, perfect, holy, righteous atonement blood that doesn't just cover sin for a period, it washes sin away. Amen. So I'm not eternally saved because of what I believe. I'm eternally saved because of who I believed on. Amen. And that blood that was shed. We'll read down through here in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I couldn't get away from this the last few days. I know we had preached a message out of Ephesians chapter 2 probably in the last 6 months, and I don't even remember what it was, to be honest with you. I just remember preaching out of this, but I believe this is what the Lord had for us today. And I want to look at about 7 or 8 things as we go down through here again. The first one in verse number 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. God's word here tells us about the godless condition. I want to see the godless condition. The godless condition is a dead condition. It's one where a man is or a woman is dead in their trespasses and sins. And we look around the world, we talk about people proclaiming the name of the Lord, or proclaiming God, proclaiming the Bible, and you know, we've got Israel on one side talking about God, and we've got the Ishmaelites and all those folks over there talking about their little G God and proclaiming to have truth and all that, but men without God, a godless man, the condition of a godless man is a lost condition. A lot of folks out there say they're preaching Bible or preaching from the Bible or believe the Bible or what have you, and if they're not trusting Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, they're in a dead state. They're in a lost condition. A godless condition is a condition of death. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We godless condition. Look at verse 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We have a godless condition, lost folks, dead and on their way to hell. And then we have a godless position. Their position is in the world, in the flesh of the devil. And again, we mention this quite often. You know, the folks say, and it's a ear-tickling thing to say, and a lot of folks say it, and it doesn't matter what their religion is. A lot of folks say, well, we're all God's children. We're all God's children. We're all made in the image of God. Well, God's a mess then. If this is His image, you see, the thing is, they don't understand. We've talked about this before. Maybe some of y'all, maybe the first time you heard this was here in this church. I don't know, but Adam was made in the image of God. And Adam fell, and then he had children in a fallen nature. And Adam begot children in his own image in Genesis chapter 5, and his image was a fallen image. He lost his godlike image when he sinned in the garden. So we don't carry the image of God as far as God. People look at us and see righteousness. People look at us and see holiness. Without salvation, we can't show that to a lost and dying world. So a godless condition is a dead condition. A godless position is being a child of the devil and being in this flesh. Now, I know we talk a lot about in the flesh and in the spirit. If you're born again, you are in the spirit. You're geographically, this flesh is carrying you, but you're not connected eternally to this flesh anymore. So lost people are without Christ, without God, without help, without hope, and they're without excuse. And that condition is one of dead and trespasses and sins. Their position is one is being stuck in this flesh and going to be judged by the deeds of this flesh, and their father's the devil. Jesus Christ told His own chosen people that weren't following Him, ye are of your father the devil. Amen. That's what He told them. Face to face to the Pharisees, to the religious crowd. And I'm afraid that unfortunately today you could look at a lot of the religious crowd, and I don't know like God knows, but I can tell you if they're not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection, if they haven't trusted in the blood and atonement of Jesus Christ, I don't care where they're at, what position they say they have, what belief system they come from, they are of the devil. They're a child of the devil. Without being in Christ, your condition is a lost and dead condition. Your position is being in the family of Satan. And then we have verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's a godless condition. That's a lost condition, a godless position, being in the family of the devil and being stuck in this flesh. Now we see the godless tradition. And that godless tradition, what is it? Well, we'll read it again. Among whom also we all had our conversation, time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. The godless tradition is to fulfill the lust of the flesh. See the difference there? Hey, when you're born again, when the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, you should immediately have a desire to fulfill the desires of Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life, and no longer the desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Matter of fact, if you're really born again and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, when you start to desire the lust of the flesh, or when you start to have a temptation to go the way to fulfill the lust of the flesh, a light ought to come on and a yield sign ought to jump up and say, hey, you shouldn't do this. Amen. You ought to have, the Holy Spirit ought to be telling you, hey, if the Holy Spirit never tells you not to do something wrong, I say you're not saved. Amen. Otherwise, you're in a godless condition with a godless position and serving a godless tradition. And that tradition is fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You know why there's so much problem out there in religion? Because it's about the lust of the flesh. You know what the flesh wants to do? The flesh lusteth to envy. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The flesh wants to go against the truth. The flesh wants to do the things that make the flesh satisfy the flesh for a moment, instantly. And that's what religion, you know, well, just be the best you can be. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have $1 million. He wants you to have this, that, and the other. You know, all that stuff is about the flesh. That's a godless tradition, trying to fulfill the desires of the flesh. And you know, the flesh will never be satisfied. But you know the funny thing is, Christ is satisfied. God the Father is satisfied with you in Christ. because he was satisfied with the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. So you might never be able to satisfy this flesh, and you couldn't. But if you're here today and you're lost on your way to hell, you could satisfy God by trusting Jesus Christ. And we could try to satisfy him daily by walking with him. Amen? Lost folks are in a godless condition. They're in a godless position. They're serving a godless tradition. And it ought not be so with saved folks. Look at verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. The godless condition, position, and tradition, and the Savior's mission. Jesus Christ came to purchase back that which was lost to the devil. We talked about this in Sunday school. Adam was placed in a perfect place, given rule and reign, dominion over this perfect place. And when he sinned, he lost that dominion. And he was under the curse of sin. And that dominion was taken over by the devil. The God of this world, little g, God of this world. But the Savior's mission was to pay that debt that Adam couldn't pay with his tainted blood and his wicked, vile flesh. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Savior's mission was to give everlasting life. The Savior's mission, when he came again and he took that crown of thorn on his head and he took the spear in his side, the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, he paid the sin debt of man. He paid to regenerate this earth. He paid the price of the fallen Adam. He revisited that curse and he paid that debt. He became a curse for us. He became sin for us on Calvary. He took the curse of the entire earth, not just man, but the entire earth. The thorns and the thistles were driven into his brow. The death you and I deserve to die on Calvary, he died so you and I could have eternal life. His mission was a regenerative mission. The Savior's mission. Look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The saved's position. Here we go with the position. The position of the saved. I said, well, we're at 705 North Barron in Gateway Baptist Church today. Well, that's not the position I'm talking about. And some of y'all are in a seated position. Some of y'all about ready to go to sleep. You're in a slouch position. And I'm up here standing position thinking about taking a nap position. But the position I'm talking about today, the saved's position, is not being in the flesh anymore, not being in the family of the devil, but being in the family of God because you are now in Christ. People say, well, you once saved, always saved, folks. How do you believe that? Because God took me out of sin, and he took me out of this flesh, spiritually speaking. He separated me, gave me a spiritual circumcision where he separated me from the deeds of this flesh, and he placed me in his dear Son. The Holy Spirit of God, he performed an operation of God where he circumcised spiritually me from this flesh, separated me out of my sinful condition, and placed me in Christ. And now Christ is in me, and I'm in him, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. I am saved, saved, saved. Amen. I'm not saved because I'm good. I'm saved because he's good. I'm not saved because I had a plan. I'm not saved because the Baptists had a plan. I'm not saved because the Lutherans had a plan or the Catholics had a plan or the Episcopalians or what have you or, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons or any of that stuff. I'm not saved because of that. I'm saved because God had a plan before the foundation of the earth, and that was to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary, shed his blood, to be raised from that grave, come back up out of that with victory over death, hell, and the grave. I'm saved because he decided to put me in the body of Christ. Amen. I'm saved because of him, not because of me. If it was because of me, I couldn't have got saved to start with. And once I got saved, I'm not staying saved because of me. I'm staying saved because of him. He didn't take my free will and say, now you're sinlessly perfect, you'll be all right. He said, try to glorify me now. Amen. Try to glorify me. Exalt me. Lift me up. Preach my word to a lost and dying world. And rest in Christ. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. I don't just guess and wonder and hope that I'm going to make it into eternity because maybe God will pull out the magic scales. I'm going because He already told me I could know. I did what I was supposed to do. I turned to Christ, called on Him, trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. He took my sin debt to hell, and He accounted me righteous at salvation. He said, you have my righteousness now, and you're going to heaven because I'm putting you in me. Amen. Like what old preacher used to say, well, when you get in the plane headed for New York, once they shut the door, you're going to New York. Amen. If it's a one-way with no layovers, you're going to New York. Amen. We're just waiting for the plane to land. Amen. We know where we're going. We're in the plane. The door's shut. Please, Lord, land this plane. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the saved's position. Talk about three more things here, and then we'll, Lord willing, we'll wrap this up maybe. Or maybe He'll call us out first. I don't know. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Aren't you glad for these verses? Listen to these verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace, that's undeserved favor, are ye saved, that's eternal, through faith. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and not of yourselves, that's one of my favorite parts right there, not of yourselves. Amen? I don't know, I couldn't do that religious church thing where they, the preacher gets up there and he says, well, I got the second blessing, I'm just holier than now and all that stuff because I got to go home with me. Amen? I got to walk around with me all week long. Amen? And I know me. Probably better than anybody but the Lord. I know me, and I'm very thankful for that part where it says, and that not of yourself. If I had to count on me, I'd be worried about losing it all the time. Matter of fact, I'd be trying to get it back all the time. Amen. But I like that verse a lot. I love that verse. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And Romans says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So He gives you a gift. He ain't taking it. He ain't taking it back. Amen. He is not going to take that gift back because they're without repentance. He's not going to turn away from that. And that's why I believe Israel is going to have a nation again. I believe Israel is going to be blessed. I believe they're going to have their king on the throne of David because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And He gave them a land and He gave them a promise. And what the Gentiles claim all year, I'm not talking about saved people, just saved people. I'm talking about lost people around the globe claim all year long. They claim Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. And they talk about, for unto us a child is born, unto, and all that stuff. And He's talking to Israel, and He's giving them promise of a permanent kingdom as a gift. They couldn't earn it. They didn't earn it. Matter of fact, they earned the opposite. But God is a God of His Word. And He promised them a land. He promised them a king. He promised them a kingdom. And that kingdom is eternal. Their king is eternal. Their promise of that land is eternal. So I don't care what Trump does or Netanyahu does or any of the people around this world do or what Iran does. God keeps His Word. And I'm glad He does. I imagine most of the people that think He's done with Israel are the ones worrying about losing their salvation. Amen. Because they don't understand the Bible says the gift and calling of God are without repentance. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the gift. Look at the good works. For we are His workmanship. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. The gift is eternal life. The good works are us trying to glorify Him. Us trying to lift Him up and exalt Him to a lost and dying world. We spend most of our time trying to get over our butterflies in the stomach, amen? You know, Paul said that I may open my mouth boldly. We're bold, right? We'll pray, hey, Lord, bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A lot of times. I know a lot of times, God was in that. Amen. I believe in God too. There's a person that's born again, saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, understands that we're all sinners, understands it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His blood atonement, understands that people that don't trust Christ, their Lord and Savior from the heart, are going to burn in hell, and two-thirds of the time we'll go, oh yeah, I believe in God too. It makes us no different than the rest of the religious crowd as a witness. That's not a witness. That's not a witness. I hear people, oh yeah, you know, Jordan Peterson, he believes in God, and Kid Rock, he believes in God, and Donald Trump believes in God, and all this. I don't know if people are lost or saved or not, but I don't hear any of them giving any witness to anybody. Amen. Well, I don't know. Maybe God did it. I'll tell you what. Just get in the Bible, open it to Genesis chapter number 1, read the first three verses, wrap your head around that, pray over that, get that sunk down into your heart, and the rest of it will just flow. Amen. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Amen. Where should I start reading? I'll read Genesis 1:1 and then jump over to John 1. Amen. Then jump over to Romans chapter number 3. Then jump over to Romans chapter 6. Jump over to Romans chapter 10. But the good works is not, well, I paid my taxes on time. They didn't catch me on that 10% I lied about either. So my testimony's still good. Amen. I paid them on time. I helped an elderly lady cross the road. And I rounded up. At Lowe's, I don't know where it went, but I rounded up. That last 3 cents, I kept it. I done something, Lord. Every time you go to Walmart, they want to give you money for something. I'm like, hey, why don't you give us a free jar of Miracle Whip then? Amen. Then maybe I can afford to donate $5 to, you know. But the thing is that, you know, we do these works and we think they're good works. And, well, we all get together and kumbaya. I don't know. I drive by these churches all the time. They're just packed. The parking lot is completely packed. And so you're envious and jealous. No, I'm not, because they got the woman preacher in there spewing out a bunch of goo and a rock concert. I don't want any part of that. But the thing is, they're doing their deed. They're going to Sunday school. They're going to church service. They're going to the 75th showing of the Passion of the Christ this year, or whatever they're doing, you know, and they're cooking their corn dog. Man, they have one church over there. I thought about switching churches because they got some really good smelling fries or something coming out of that building. I don't know what it is. It smelled like McDonald's on steroids when you drive past it. But I'm just kidding. I ain't switching churches. I like good French fries. Hard to beat, though. Acrylamides, they make you strong. But, you know, the good works. Everybody, that's what the world's doing. They're doing good works. Well, I just hope and think, well, you know, if there is a God, I'd like to meet Him. And if Jesus is God's Son, if Jesus is in the saving business, I want in. Hey, praise the Lord, He is in the saving business, and I got in. Amen, I got in. And guess what? And that not of yourselves. It wasn't because of me. Now, the part that was because of me was Calvary. Amen. The fact that they spat in God's face, and they ripped His beard from His head, and they drove them thorns in His head, and they nailed the nails in His feet, nailed the nails in His hands, and stuck the spear in His side, and He suffered in agony and gave up the ghost and gave His spirit up for me. That was because of me. But when He come up out of that grave, hey, you know what? He went to hell because of me. When He come back out of the grave, that wasn't because of me, that was for me. Praise the Lord. The gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The good works, you know, we should try to be good people and have a good testimony and try to love the lost. I'm not talking about love is love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about giving people the truth and trying to be kind to them and trying to, hey, be abrasive when you need to be abrasive, be kind when you need to be kind, and be Spirit-led, amen? But I'm talking about giving people the truth about the death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 10 again, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our goal is to lift up Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. He said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And I know He was talking about the cross physically, but spiritually He's expecting His children to say, here's your answer. Here's your answer. It's not the rosary. It's not the baptistry. It's not the church registry. It's the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to read verse 8 again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God. Talk about that grace. I mean, here we are in the Thanksgiving season. Aren't you glad we have, are you thankful we have a Bible? Are you thankful we have a, and I know I'm not lifting this up to the level of the Bible, aren't you thankful we have old-fashioned hymnals? Amen? Aren't you thankful that we believe the things of the old path? And we don't know everything, but what we know. Amen? You don't know what you don't know, right? Aren't you thankful you know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior? Aren't you thankful that He didn't just say, well, you know what, you're saved, good luck. But He saved you, He sealed you, He put the Holy Spirit in you to guide you and direct you. And you can open this Bible as a child of God and get things out of that book that no scholar could ever find. I don't care how long they fool around with the archaic Greek and Hebrew or whatever. They'll never find it without the Holy Spirit of God living in it. They might find some facts and some things, but spiritually speaking, God will never give them what He'll give you as His child from His Word. Never. Never. And those are a lot of the people that are rewriting, quote-unquote, rewriting the Bibles. And they don't see spiritually. They see carnally. And they're giving you a watered-down, messed-up, perverted book that's worded by their carnal minds to satisfy their carnal hearts and expecting you to believe it. But God will talk to you. He'll talk to us out of this book like He won't talk to anybody else. You know, John, the type of the church, was leaning on Jesus' bosom. You know what he got by leaning on Jesus' bosom? A special walk. And a special relationship and special revelation by the Lord. You know, if you'll, as a church member, I'm not talking about a Gateway Baptist Church, as a part of the body of Christ, part of the family of God, if you'll lean on Jesus' bosom, you know what you'll get? A special relationship, a special walk, and a special revelation from the Word of God. I hope and pray that everybody here, I'm glad that everybody's here when they're here. Thank God for y'all. Love y'all. I hope y'all get something from every time this book's open and taught or preached. Something. Even if it's a refreshing thing. But more than that, I hope when you read it yourself, God's talking to you. Hope you are reading it yourself. And if you are, I hope God's talking to you. I hope you're leaning on Jesus' bosom like John. Giving you something special. Something special. The grace of God. I believe in the grace of God. I believe God is love. I don't believe that's all He is, but I believe God is love. Because I believe there's no true understanding of love outside of God. I believe all other attempts at understanding love are perverted and messed up and man-made and garbage. I believe God is love. I believe God is judgment. I believe God is a consuming fire. I believe God's a man of war. Amen. I believe the book, and that's all in there, and much more. I believe He's wonderful. Counselor. Almighty God. I believe He's the Prince of Peace. The Everlasting Father. Amen. I believe He's Jehovah God. I mean, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah. You go on down the list. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but I witnessed Jehovah when I went to Calvary. Amen. I believe that. I believe in God's grace, and I thank God for God's grace. Adam found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Job found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Jonah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Joseph found found grace in the eyes of the Lord. David found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Samuel found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We can go on down the line. Hey, Peter found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Paul found grace in the eyes of the Lord. John found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Judas found grace in the eyes of the Lord and threw it away. But look at all these people and all that grace that God's dumping out there. You know why? Because God does. He's the epitome of love. He is love. And that love commendeth that grace and that love to a lost and dying world. All these people, Rahab found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? And on down the line, Stephen, Matthias, on down the line. And if you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's because you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you're going to heaven because you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we're going into rapture because we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we're here in this church together bragging on Jesus Christ, singing songs about Jesus Christ, joy to the world and nothing but the blood, because we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's a difference between most Christians and Noah, though. You know what the Bible says? Noah walked with God. Amen. The greatest type of the church in the Bible, Enoch, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. You say, well, I do. I'm like y'all. I think maybe if that last person would get saved, he'd call us out of here. Maybe if the church would walk with God again, maybe he'd call us out of here. That's what Enoch was doing when he was translated. Amen. I'm not against a good translation. I'm ready to be translated. Amen. Even so come Lord Jesus. But it's about the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it weren't for grace, undeserved favor that God dumped out on this world, and you found grace in the eyes of God, and we're going to find it again soon. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Come get us out of here, Lord. But in the meantime, give us boldness to do what you called us to do. And Lord, help us to get over ourselves and not worry about what others think, but do what's right for you. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we're our biggest obstacle and biggest enemy most of the time. Help us to get over ourselves and live for you. Give us boldness that we may open our mouths and proclaim the truth to a lost and dying world. I know that tracts are something, but Lord, help us not just totally depend on the tracts, but to totally depend on the Holy Spirit. And help us to get whatever's between us under the blood and walk with you and lean on your bosom like John did, the beloved. We could have that special relationship. We could have that special walk and that special revelation, that special talk with you. When we hear the preaching of your word and we read your word, Lord, bless us through the day. Bless the nursing home service coming up. Bless the food, the time of fellowship. Have your hand and power on everything that's done from here forward, Lord. Help us, again, to be a blessing to those folks in the nursing home, as they are to us. In Jesus' name.